What's up, weirdos? I'm Chris Weir, and this is The Chris Weir Experience. And today we're on episode number 22 of The Daily Weirdo. And as always, Scott, thank you so much for joining me this week.
Thank you for having me. Yeah. Thank you for having a little bit of a Johnny Walker Black Label.
As always.
Not that we are, you know, endorsing this, but it's just nice.
It's pretty good.
It's
not an endorsement, but this is some of the best
Scotch
that lives. Anyway, so today we're going to talk about time management. This is a topic that we breached ever so slightly before, but we didn't go into a lot of detail. We
didn't really get into the nuts and bolts of it.
We did.
What is really time management?
Exactly. So that's what we're going to talk about today. So this was Scott's idea. So I'm going to let Scott lead.
Scott has had a crappy week of time management.
Oh, yeah?
And, and I'm going to preface with, there's a lot of things that go into the time management,
sure.
The whole idea of time management, especially when you're an entrepreneur, especially when you set your own schedules, especially, you're responsible for getting your stuff done.
Right.
Or, your projects done, whatever it is. And I guess my biggest problem this week was I was not real with myself. I have a lot of small jobs right now. Some small jobs. I like doing small jobs. I like helping out, the little guy.
Right.
Although I am a little guy too. I just want to help out, some of those guys that are like, man, I need an architect, but I have no idea what I'm doing, and I like helping them out and all this. But I think, oh, yeah, that job's going to take me, 2 hours. I got this. I'll bump that thing out and all that. And all of a sudden, I'm like, 10 hours into it. I'm like, crud, I'm still not done.
Not that I want to sidebar too far off because we did this last time and didn't go into enough detail. But do you not find that the smallest jobs are the ones that take the most time?
The smallest jobs, how can I say this correctly? Yes.
Is that the same for you?
The smallest jobs usually do take the most time. Because at the same time, not that any project is small to your client, because that's their project and it's very important to them. So it should be important to you, another topic, 100%. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you're taking more time, I think, teaching your client about why you do what you do and why you have to do what you do and what he or she needs to be able to give you for your project. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them don't understand, well, isn't it just drawing lines on paper? Well, it's not. There's a lot of information that needs to go into these small projects. And especially on small projects, it's like a condensed version. Like I might have a dental suite that's, 4,000 square feet.
Right.
Well, yeah, I have 10 exam rooms in that. Well, the notes are all the same for all the 10 exam rooms, but on a smaller project, like 1,000 square foot, I have two or three exam rooms. Well, now all of a sudden, kind of like economy of scale or whatever really isn't there for possibly what you're actually making on this job, in order to do this. Yeah. And with more of more of the education of the client, more of your expectations of yourself, thinking, hey, it's a small job, so I can.
I find in advertising what we run into a lot is with our smaller projects that we have, like if we're helping a micro to super small business, that has a very, very small budget, which I still like to help as well. I love startups. I love helping startups get off the ground running. I love that kind of thing. But I think sometimes what ends up happening is when you have a larger budget and you're spending, $10,000, $15,000, $30,000 a month on advertising, you have a little more room for mistakes. So when it's a much smaller budget, there's eyes are on it a lot more. So there's more revisions. So there's more reviews. So there's more discussions about all that. To your point, some training that's in there trying to help them understand some of that. But really getting down into details that someone spending $30,000 a month, they're not going to get into that kind of detail,
right?
Because that budget allows for a little wiggle room where a much smaller budget, $500 to $1,000 a month, there's not a lot of wiggle room for mistakes in that, right? You got to be pretty spot on.
You got to be spot on with that.
Right.
I mean, and it's the same thing with, you know, with a smaller project, you know, you just don't have the economy of scale to say, oh, well, why can't I fit in a conference room? Why can't I fit in a break room? It's like, well, we got an infinite amount of space here. Mm-hmm. I mean, just like you have a finite. Yeah. Sorry, not infinite.
I was like,
whoa, really? That's cool.
I'm like, where are you going with
that?
I just
watched The Avengers, Infinity Stone. It was awesome. But this is not a movie review channel.
That's
but
funny.
Maybe we'll get a few more guys, but just by me saying Infinity Wars, who knows? But it's one of those things where you have a finite amount of space, and especially in the smaller spaces, we try to pack it full. It's, you know, that 10 pounds in a 5-pound bag.
Right.
Not that bigger projects don't try to do it too, but you tend to have the room to get it in. I mean, to your point of saying same idea with that budget.
Right.
You kind of have that wiggle room or whatever. Everything doesn't seem to be as tight. Everything doesn't seem to be as, you know, needs to be as spot on.
Yeah.
As whatever.
Well, and you know, and the point that I think you were getting to before I so rudely interrupted you with my sidebar, but let me bring it full circle. I think one of the toughest challenges that I have, and maybe what you're going through right now, is managing project time right now. Forget all the other stuff. We'll get into all the other stuff that we have to do as business owners, but just project management time and scheduling out and budgeting out
that's
labor hours.
Right.
Right.
Well,
it gets really cumbersome when you have larger projects and smaller projects going at the same time.
Amen to that.
And then you have the pro bono work, you know, because I do that every once in a while, especially for nonprofits. I'll throw some free stuff out every once in a while. So you're these different levels of production and not levels of importance or level of attention being paid to that project. It's just, again, I think those smaller projects demand so much more hands-on time.
You know, and I think that's one of the things, too, that one of these ideas about time management is to know your project.
Right, right.
You know, so there should be I have done enough of these now where I should know, hey, these smaller projects aren't going to take me, you know, how can I say it, you know, the same factor of time that it takes me with a long project.
Right.
I mean, and that's the thing. The smaller projects almost take as long as the bigger projects. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's just something you really need to adjust and factor for in your scheduling of your time.
So let's talk about that. So let's dig into that a little bit.
Gladly, because I need
some
help.
Oh.
Exactly, Chris. Dang. How? No, just kidding.
Go ahead.
I mean, and this was my realization, you know, kind of for this week, especially going through this, is, you know, I can't just look at a job and say, hey, it's a smaller job. It's going to take me, you know, substantially smaller amount of time.
Right.
No, there's still the same ideas I have to put in here. I'm still doing a floor plan. I'm still doing all of this stuff. I still have to budget that time in there and not just think it's a small job, so it's a small timeline. And that's for me, at least on my side, you know, budget is a concern and all of that stuff as well. But for me, it's more of time because I am still doing almost the same amount of drawings for a smaller project as I am a big project.
So let's go one level lower, okay? So
you mean like an octave or something?
Yeah.
Let's bring it down. Let's bring it down.
No, if we're – okay, so let's say we get to the point that we identify that each project that we have has a certain amount of time, and we figure
out, right?
We've laid this out. We said, okay, this project is going to take this many hours. This project's going to take that many hours. And let's assume for a moment that we're correct in our assumptions, right? Mm-hmm. There's always exception to the rule. Sometimes we're going to miss it. Something's going to go over. Something's going to go short.
And you never know what's going to happen during the week. You don't know if a project's going to hit a
– but let's say all things equal, right? Let's say perfect world. We figure out the time. Let's get down to allocating the time. So how do you manage allocation of your time visually? How do you know what you have to do for the day, I guess?
Well, basically for me, every Sunday night I stop and I write down, hey, these are the projects I need to be working on this week. These are some of my goals. I look at my last week, say, what did I get done and what I did not get done? And what do I want to get done for this week? So I write it down. It is a visual thing that I write down. These things need to get done.
Do you
literally handwrite it on my, I have a little, not a 5x8, or I have just a little flip sketchbook type
little
thing.
Notepad type little notepad right.
That I write it on. And then I write, hey, you know, this, I would like to do this. And, you know, I would like, this is my first job I'm going to tackle. This is my second job. This is my third job. This is going to take me, hey, I think this should take me 2 hours. This part will take me 1 hour.
Why have you chosen to stay with pen and paper instead of moving over to a software? Because there's plenty of softwares that do that.
There are plenty of softwares that do that. I've always been in a notebook. I've always been sketching. I've always been doing that. It's comfortable, you know, for me right now. And it's almost like as I'm writing through it, I can kind of visualize, you know, what I have. You know, I also still have some paper files because I still deal with a lot of paper.
Sure.
You know, not everything is whatever. I have files that I lay down on my desk, you know, and I have like on my side work desk, I almost have divided it out into, you know, five things. Hey, these are my five files that I have out. And that kind of reminds me too, hey, those jobs need to get done.
Right.
You know, so for me, it's a very touchy, physical, you know, type of environment.
Right.
Now, that's not to say that I don't use some electronics. I mean, I use my email as my to-do list, you know, to make sure, hey, when an email comes in, I don't erase it until that task is done, you know. I use Outlook to, you know, schedule my meetings, and I have that up on my second screen to know, hey, this is coming up, this is coming up.
Right.
Oh, I have meetings today. Hey, I have meetings tomorrow. I need to make sure I have this while I'm writing down my list. It's just the way my brain seems to work right now.
No, that's, you know, and that's cool. So on the flip side of that, I think in the advertising world, because so much of the media buy and so much of the placement has moved digital, we have almost been forced into software, which I don't necessarily think is a bad thing. I think it certainly increases efficiencies. I think you could probably even argue with yourself that you could improve efficiencies, yet you would have to go through this cycle of breaking comfort zone. And again, that's like, if you can get it done now, right?
Well, right.
And
you
get through this kind of stuff and maybe one day. But so for us, on the advertising side, software is incredibly important. I mean, one last week, for instance, in one of the Daily Weirdos, I was talking about how I create as much content as I create in a week. I mean, I'm creating 50 to 250, 300 pieces of content every single week. How in the world am I able to even have time doing that? And every once in a while, like for instance, this past weekend when I was posting everything that I had produced the week prior, and it was my highest producing week. I had a very, very good week of producing content, and I get to the point of now scheduling all the posts, because I use software to schedule all the posts. So I'm not there at, you know, 6 o'clock or 5 o'clock in the morning to post my podcast.
Oh, exactly.
And it's automatically scheduled to go out at that time. But so I have all this software that does that. So as I'm sitting there getting all of these projects loaded into the software, I'm sitting there going, oh my God, there's a lot of stuff here. And I messed up on my time management because I did not account for how long it was going to take me to upload 350 pieces of content into a scheduler.
Right. But now you learned, and this goes back to our last one about failing forward.
Sure, sure.
You know,
absolutely.
Is that you learned, okay, hey, I need to make sure I account for that. Because, and my whole goal with this is you're never going to get it right 100% of the time. But once again, learn from it.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't know how many times I've done it where I'm saying, oh, yeah, this small job is not going to take me that long, blah,
right.
blah, 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 blah.
Right.
Oh, crud, I messed up. But now I think I finally learned from it.
Right.
After the 50th time of being hit with a baseball bat.
Until next one, right?
You know, until the next one. But, you know, it's just one of those things, and especially this is what I like about what we're doing here.
Right.
It makes me think a lot more about my business. Mm. It makes me think a lot more about the things that I never thought of with architecture. You know, with architecture, I always think, oh, well, it's, you know, it's doing great floor plans, doing great elevations, it's using materials, it's all this. It's the drafting, it's the pieces, it's all that.
Right.
But it's still the other side of it, which is a business, which still, you know, you have deadlines to make. You know, you have hours to make. You have, you know, billings to make. You have, you know, meetings we have to go to. Hey, how do you control that meeting? Another going to be a long talk about how you control a meeting.
Yeah.
You know, to make sure that you're not there for 2 hours and everyone's not getting brain dead. Because
let's reel back in a little bit. No, that's okay. Because I sent us down that path too. So let's reel back in just a little bit and stay on time management. You know, there's a lot
we're
of
we're going to manage our time for this.
Right.
for this.
That's funny.
Sorry.
Well, yeah. Let me try to manage the time of this thing. So a lot of talk over the past. Well, actually, I don't want to say it's a few years because God, I'm getting so old. But time blocking, right? I want to say it was. I want to say Stephen Covey, but I don't quote me on that. I may be completely wrong on who that author was, but I think it was Stephen Covey. Wrote the book. Actually, I don't even remember the name of the book. how embarrassing. But regardless, inside the book talked a lot about time blocking. That was my introduction to time blocking. This had to be 15, 16, 17 years ago. I was introduced to time blocking. Have you ever worked time blocking? Not necessarily to its fullest,
but I have done a macro time blocking. And usually what I try to do, I try to schedule no meetings on Fridays.
Okay.
Because no meetings ever get done.
Good.
I try to schedule for myself Tuesdays and Wednesdays. That seems to be my good days for having meetings. And I don't mind having like multiple meetings, you know, on those days. I want to get all those meetings done. And then the next day, try to get out, you know, some of the minor production that I need to get out. But I have, and that's kind of a macro time blocking, you know, for as far as, you know, my weekday schedules. Mm-hmm. You know, I try to do no meetings on Monday, no meetings on Thursday, no meetings on Friday. Does it always work out?
Wow.
No. No, it doesn't always work out. But what I want to be able to do.
I want no meetings where the day ends in Y.
Exactly. Is that okay?
Other than that, it's fine.
Can we work with that? How's that business? How's that business model working for you, Scott?
Yeah.
But, you know, usually, and if especially with some of my contractors, they know, you know, my meeting schedule, and they'll try to, you know, work on that because that's the day they know, hey, I'm full on. Mondays I like not having on because I like trying to get some other stuff out that may have happened on Friday. You know, that's when I go into the cities, you know, get a good start on the week, et cetera. Now, during the day, you know, I try to get all of my emails out first thing in the morning. Mm-hmm. Whatever happened basically after probably 2 o'clock the previous day, to an overnight and all that, I just try to get all those out. And that's basically my first hour. Mm-hmm. And after that is hopefully when I get a chance to, you know, look back and, hey, did we get these done? Did we get these done? Reprioritize, you know, all that. I mean, and once again, it's a constant back and forth.
Right.
You know, because there's going to be those days, I didn't get this done. Now I need to budget for this time and make sure nothing else is, you know, getting bumped.
So
but yeah, I don't do a full,
you don't, you know, micro
blocking. I mean, I remember we talked about
8
this.
To 9, you were only, So I have found in the creative space, and I think this is one of the things I like so much about the ad agency business specifically, is there's so many different elements, right? So we have our sales team, which can very much benefit from hour by hour time blocking. You know, set aside your power hours so that you're making your sales calls, your sales visits, your cold calls, whatever you're having to do. Sales can benefit greatly from time blocking hour by hour. On the other side of that, though, down the hallway, the creative team, you can't do that because creativity comes in spurts, right?
You can't.
I mean, you're sometimes on a block and you're beating your head against the wall. It's like, okay, from 8 to 9, I'm going to beat my head against the wall. From 9 to 10, the ideas are going to come.
Yeah, I couldn't be saying, hey, from 7 to 8, I'm going to return these emails and do these sketches. There you go. Okay, it's now 9 o'clock. I'm going to design a floor plan.
Mm-hmm. No, it doesn't work like that.
It really doesn't.
So what I have found to be the most beneficial is giving a final deadline and saying, look, okay, so this is the end game. This is where we need to complete this project, right? Or giving milestones throughout, depending on the length of the project, right? I mean, if it's a few days, generally a milestone is just a more of a cumbersome thing than anything. It's more of a headache. But if it's going to be a, you know, a month-long project, like when we do websites, they're usually a couple few weeks long to build a website. Gotcha. If we're doing that kind of thing, then milestones are relevant at that point. But what I have found is giving team members that final deadline and saying, get it in before then, right?
Right.
So that was a very – that scared me a little bit when I went that route because – I know me, right? And I know that when I give myself a final deadline, it's usually right before that deadline that I start actually doing the work, right? And I push it off for all the time that I had.
Right.
I push it off to the last second. So when I first started going that route, I was a little bit nervous about what the outcomes would be with that. But actually, what I really found is I'm at my best up against a deadline. that's where you kind of force creativity out.
Well, I mean, it's,
it forces you to actually your head down, your nose down, and get it done.
The funniest thing that, you know, I always say is when someone comes to me with, you know, a nice rectangle building and they say, hey, design this, it's like, well, okay, yeah, here you go. My best and most creative designs are when I get this L shape that has, you know, these pop-outs in and out. That's when you get your creativeness, mm-hmm. because that's when the challenge
right,
comes in.
You're being challenged.
And I think that's the same thing. Some people work better when there's a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Some people work better, but as an entrepreneur and as a boss, I think that drives you, you know, your boss nuts.
Let me ask you a question.
Are you going to hit that date?
Let me ask you a question. For the entrepreneur that's out there, I'm going to ask you two questions. The first one is...
Now you're going over two questions?
Yeah. I get two. I'll ask them both up front. You can answer both of them either together or separately. The entrepreneur who's the soloist, mm-hmm. like yourself. The entrepreneur who has a few employees. Both are struggling with time management. Missing deadlines, waiting to the last second and things are getting missed, mm-hmm. Because that's sometimes something you got to pay attention to. You know, you miss things there at the very end when you're rushed. Struggling with time management, right, in general. What's step one to move towards solution?
I think, and I will tell you, for me, you need to reevaluate, I think, and start back and really step back to step one, step back to the foundation of how much time did I really allot for this? How much time did I waste?
And when you say go back to step one, are you saying take go back to step one? Like if I lay a project out, right? I know every little itty bitty thing that I have to do in a project. Are you saying go all the way back to step one and start saying, okay, this task is going to take this long, this task, and start from there? Is that
for me? When I hit a project, mm-hmm. I start saying, hey, you know. Yeah, within 3 days, I want to have a floor plan out to them.
Mm-hmm.
Then as soon as I have that floor plan out to them, I want to have a meeting. You know, it kind of goes in that route. Where did you look back at that project? Where did the time stop mm-hmm. being managed? Because
mm-hmm.
there was a time when something happened,
right?
You know, in that project that doesn't fit your prototype. Now, was it an anomaly that just, hey, you know, something happened. Hey, you know, my dog died. I took 8 hours off, you know, whatever.
You got to let your dog die.
I'm sorry, man.
Jeez.
One of my contractors just had his dog die.
Okay.
And so he was out of the, he was a superintendent. So he was off the project for 2 days. And it's a dark, dark man.
Jeez, man. How about the butterflies got loose?
Okay. I'm not even going to go with that one. But,
okay. Sorry.
But I mean, it's, I think you have to reevaluate where that went off. I know when I worked for, you know, a company, we were held together by, you know, that timesheet, you know, and my bosses even say, hey, why did you spend 8 hours on this? Why could you spend all this?
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to have to just reevaluate, I think, where that project hit a loop. I know when it's me, myself, I know when... You know what? I could have taken some more time there. I could have done this better here. I mm-hmm. could have done all of this.
Right.
But at that point, it doesn't really help you with what you're just doing. Mm-hmm. You have to put in some more time.
Yeah.
You're going to have to bite the bullet. You're going to have to, you know, eat the excrement, you know, and right. put in the more time and get the project done. But for me, it's just do a sports matter. Hey, it's going back to the fundamentals.
Right.
What did I do wrong?
Right.
What did I do wrong?
And I think even going in line with that again, and I guess I'll take it, you know, and I think what's I'm loving about this conversation here is it's kind of like you're giving me the side from architecture and then I'm sharing the side from the ad agency, because while our projects are, there's some similarities, there's a lot of differences too. So like for instance, our projects, right? If we're building a website, there are very specific things that have to happen along the way.
Correct.
Probably of the 200 tasks that are involved in building a website, at least 150 of those are done every single time, right? Every mm-hmm. single website we ever build, those 150 tasks are the exact same, right? There are those 50 that make it a custom website, that make it unique to that particular business. So I think... I just to kind of co-sign on what you were saying, I think absolutely go back to the fundamentals. I think from our standpoint, what helped me, and I did this many years ago, when we went to standardized pricing, we literally sat down and we actually used a piece of software where we would clock in when we on each task. So we have project management software, tells us every single task that we have to do. Once we start working on a task, we would clock in on that task to see how long it would take us to do that task. And when we were done, we clocked out, right? It's that simple. I mean, it's I'm in, I'm out. It wasn't cumbersome. It wasn't a big deal. But what it did do was it allowed us, and of course, we did it on more than one project. I mean, you can't take one project to say this is the standard. So we took, you know, four, five, six different websites that we'd produce, or four, five, six different videos that we would produce, 30-second videos, commercials, or whatever, you know, whatever it was, and we would take the average time that it would spend on the entire project. And then that gives us a benchmark to say, okay, it should take, on average, it should take this long to get the project done. Now add the buffer in for the just in case, right? And for the anomalies that pop in. And then, okay, maybe you beat the clock. Maybe you get done early with your buffer time, you know, but at least you're not late. You know what I mean?
Right. And I don't think that's too far from what we do as well in architecture. I think it, one is almost like, I don't know if yours is more on the front end where ours is more on the back end. Because, you know, we're almost, providing the, how can I say it? We're providing all the creativity up front. And then we're producing, you know, the construction documents.
Right.
Now, when we get into construction documents, you know, once I have that client sign off on, hey, there's a floor plan I want, there's the ceiling I want, these are the lights that I want, you know, this is the electrical locations and all that. Once I go into engineering, hey, I know that, hey, for, you know, electrical, I'm going to need 4 hours. For plumbing, I'm going to need 2 hours, you know, and for detail sheets, hey, those are mostly prototypical, so maybe I only need 1 hour for all three of them. You know, I have the same kind of idea.
Sure.
And then, hey, if you're ahead of time, great. But also, once you get to that time, for me, still writing it down, I'm like, okay, well, hey, I want to get electrical done today. I know that's going to take me 4 hours. Electrical for Dr. Seuss, made up name, for a dentist. You know, yeah, that's going to take me 4 hours. So I'm going to budget in that time today.
Right.
You know, hey, I know plumbing is going to take me 2 hours. I'm going to budget in for the next day. And I know that over the next 2 week period, I need to get all of those pieces, you know, all those 12 different, you know, blocks that I have done, you know, over the next, you know, where. So maybe I do more blocking than I really realize.
Yeah. Well, I think that anybody who's just getting started out or who has run into this time management wall where you're struggling quite a bit to try to figure out how to manage your time better. The projects are problems. You're missing deadlines, whatever the case might be, right? I think for you, I think step one should be, like Scott said, step back to the fundamentals, get down, and figure out exactly how long it should take, especially if you have employees. And I think that was probably one of the biggest things for my company when we sat down and we started timing this. It wasn't just an advantage for us from the standpoint of billing or expensing labor. It was an advantage to the employee to know what their expectations were. How long should they take to get this done? Well, I don't know. Am I allowed 8 hours to do this or am I allowed 4? They had no clue, right? So I think a lot of times managers, leaders, entrepreneurs, owners, business owners, whatever, we sometimes forget the employee's perspective in all of this as well. And they need a little bit of guidance and they need to know, okay, well, how long should I, am I allowed to take on this? How long should I be taking on this? And that's your call. That's not their call.
And especially as you being an entrepreneur, most likely you have done this stuff before as well. So you know, hey, this is how long it would take me.
And you always add to that.
You always,
no matter how good the employee is, you always add to that.
You know, I had a drafter. I know, hey, if I was to do this, this is going to take me 2 hours. I know it'll take him 4 hours, but it's not taking me the 2 hours, so I can spend my time, you know, doing something else. Yeah. But I want to make sure, I don't want to set an expectation so high that you burn out an employee, you know, that, hey, we just can't do this, or to make them nervous about, you know, hey, I'm not performing, and then, you know, stress out about it. I also don't want to set the bar too low to where they say, right. Oh, this is only going to take me 2 hours, but boss thinks I can't take 8, so I'm going to milk it for all I got.
Right, right.
You know, you got to know where that is.
Yeah.
And hopefully you being the entrepreneur where you have worn all the hats, you know what it should take.
Right.
Add a little bit to it. If you see it's coming in earlier, hey, you know, challenge them a little more. Mm-hmm. Hey, you're doing a great job. You know, let's hit it. If they're getting to the time when you think you should do it, you know, don't push them any further, I don't think. Because if you don't think you could get it done in 2 hours, I don't think you should say, hey, get it done in whatever. And I think that's a little more of the team management, too, once you get in.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I agree. Well, I think, you know, so many times, because I do focus a lot on time management. I focus a lot on task management, mm-hmm. on blocking time, setting deadlines and milestones.
One thing I really wanted to say, too, find which way works for you, too.
Right.
Get a whiteboard. You know, divide mm-hmm. the day up into
that's
hours.
How we started.
Divide the week up, you know, that way. And then when you're moving it around, say, hey, geez, could I do this on a, you know, mm-hmm. would I feel more comfortable doing this digitally? Do I like having, you know, that up there? You know, use the technology, get a third screen, definitely get a second screen. Mm-hmm. My productivity, I shouldn't say skyrocketed, but it was a lot easier once I got that second screen that I could have something else up and I'm not toggling and all that type of stuff. Mm-hmm. See what works for you.
Yeah.
Try something. If it doesn't work, try something.
Well, you know, when we first started work, before we went project management software, we had a huge dry erase board up. It was a huge dry erase board up on the wall. And I don't even remember how big this thing was, but it was massive. And of course, it had the magnet deal or whatever. Uh-huh. So what we did was we went and bought strips of magnets and put them on the back of just laminated paper. And we would write the name of the project on that laminated paper with a magnet on the back of it. And we would move it around the dry erase. So we had all the different stages that the project would go through. And we would physically move the project to the next stage. Right. So we had a quick visual there. Now, obviously, we graduated into the software where it does the exact same thing, just so much quicker for us. It's tied in with the CRM. It's tied in.
But especially when you have employees, that's very handy because then everyone's seeing the same board.
But even now the software does that too. So you have your dashboards that everybody can see now, right? So it's taken that. Yeah, exactly. Right. So it's taken that dry erase board. It's moved it down onto the computer and actually made it more efficient in many different ways. So I think. I think if you're up against the wall, you're beating your head against the wall in this whole time management deal, I think it's step back to square one is number one, right? I think you just got to go back to the beginning, work your projects out either in your head, work them out on paper. If you have enough projects going, time the projects that you have to figure out how long it should take so that you can communicate that either A, internally to your team, B, to yourself, mm-hmm. or C, to your clients. And that's very, very important, the communication to the client and managing their expectations of time as well. If you keep missing deadlines, if you're running into that stuff, you've got to get a handle on your time management. I think, and with so many distractions today, email can eat your entire day if you let it. Because email just keeps coming in all freaking day long. It never stops. It just constantly comes in. And if I stopped every time I got a I get over 100 emails a day. If I stopped every time I got an email and tried to respond to every single one, there is no way I would get work done at all. So I think you've got to, number one, go back to step one, figure out all your projects and how much time it should take you to get these things done. And start managing internal and external expectations. But I think then number two, you got to start looking at where the distractions are. What is it that's pulling you away? You know, is it email that pulls you away? Is it your social media notifications? Is it your cell phone that keeps getting text messages or notifications of social media or whatever it might be? Is it, you know, your location? Do you need to start thinking about your location and putting a lock on the door so you can't get interrupted. I mean, whatever. You know, you've got to look at all these different distractions as well, and you got to start eliminating those. And I think that's a huge piece of time management as well, is eliminating distractions.
I mean, and literally looking at your day. What are the hours of the day that you actually did work?
Yeah.
You know, I've had those times too where I'm like, man, I didn't get anything done today. And I look back at my day and go, well, you know, you really didn't because you didn't, you know, because this goes into a lot of things, procrastination.
Yeah. Well, see,
you know, there's all of that.
I'm glad you said that. I'm glad you said that, because the thing that just popped in my head is I'm sitting here thinking about all these employees that I've sat down with that have had difficulties in time management. And we're sitting there trying to come up with solutions. One of the biggest problems, I said, not all of them, but some of them weren't honest with themselves.
Well, that's
about what their distractions were, because sometimes the distractions was YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes your lunch became 2 hours instead of an hour, because the second hour was watching a YouTube, you know, getting sucked into the YouTube black hole, you know, or gaming sucks people in, especially, you know, I can't even say younger generation anymore, because that's not even true, right?
Right. I mean,
everybody does games. Right. So, I mean, you know, I think you have to be brutally honest with yourself and find your own shortcomings in all of this as well, especially if you're a soloist.
Right.
You have to be overly critical of yourself. Right. Right.
And you know what? If you have employees,
overly honest with yourself,
there's, well, and on critical of yourself as well. I know with when I used to work with another architecture firm, we designed the place so that, hey, you know what? We could come up to from behind, you know, the workers and see what they're doing on their screens, you know, but that's sure. the true thing. Yeah. I mean, everyone thinks, oh, I can get away with it. I can get away with it. Most employees are good. I don't want you to think all employees are bad or whatever, but yeah, there are going to be the ones that, oh, hey, you know, yeah, I can get this done in another half hour. I'm going to watch this, you know, you know, I was just trying to think of something my son watches, but you know, it's not working right now.
YouTube videos, shopping YouTube videos online.
Oh, shopping online. I mean, whatever.
The news.
Right.
I mean, you know, it's anything. I mean,
you can get
it's
sucked anything. Into anything and just, oh, click on that and click on that and click on that. I know I've done it myself. And it's like, oh my gosh, I just wasted a half an hour where I should have been doing X, Y, and Z. Mm-hmm. But it's just ways, once again, of realizing what the problem is and then addressing the problem.
Yeah.
And you know, I go back to the failing or the falling forward. Type thing.
If it you is fail failing or forward.
Failing forward. Thank you. Failing, falling forward. But failing forward of just saying, okay, hey, I see my employees are doing this. I need to curtail that and just say, hey, you're not wrong, but we're going to stop this.
Yeah.
You know, you're not bad people, but we're going to stop this because I need you guys to get work done for me.
Yeah.
You know,
guys, this was a very granular conversation. We were very much, I mean, this was very much down in the weeds. This was not a 30,000 foot conversation, I think. I think we were really getting down into details, and this doesn't necessarily apply to everybody, because not everybody's struggling with time management necessarily. But I'm sure you know somebody who is. So if you do, be sure you send them this video, and I would love to hear from you guys, right? Mm-hmm. What kind of struggles have you had with time management, and what did you do to solve it? Or if you haven't solved it yet, let me know that as well. Time management is just one of those things that it's so easy to be annoyed by it that you say, I'm just whatever. Let's just do it. Just put your nose down and get it done. Instead of taking a step back and actually organizing your day and organizing your task. Right.
I almost want to say take the time for time management.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, and there's a whole lot of other things. Hey, you know, you have to have your yeses be yeses and your noes be noes, and clients can, you know, suck your time out of you and other things. Those are some different topics that I think we do need to talk about a little. But this is just, you know, in the weeds of how do you handle your time?
Right.
And I was like, organize your time.
Yeah. And I think that can be, you know, like Scott on literally paper and pen. I love, no matter how you do it, whether it's paper, pen, or on the computer or on a dry erase board or whatever, whether you use software or what, I think the biggest thing is make sure that you have a very, very clear visual. There are plenty of softwares out there that have crap dashboards that you can't really see it visually what's going on. And everybody looks at it different. Some people like task lists. Some like it on a calendar. What are those the boxes? Well,
The Gantt charts.
The Gantt charts. All that kind of stuff. I mean, there's so many different ways that you can view all of this different stuff. Find what works for you, because it's going to be different for everybody. So find what works for you, but be honest about number one, what you know, how much time it's going to take to do stuff.
Right.
Be honest about what your distractions are and get yourself a good visual. And I think you're going to be on at least the path to get there. But to Scott's point, you have to take the time for time management. Right. If you don't, you're going to, I'm telling you, it's going to hurt you in the long run. It really will. It really will. Guys, I hope this helped. I really do. I appreciate you sticking around with us here on this, the 22nd episode of The Daily Weirdo. Appreciate it very much, guys. It's been real. We'll see you on the next episode of The Daily Weirdo.